We are the Rowersma family, and we are missionaries to Bury, the largest town in Wales.
In January 2016, our family moved to Wales with a desire to help revive churches that were about to close. We wanted to work with an established church during our first year in the United Kingdom as we settled down as a family and adjusted to the culture. We were able to work with Bethany Baptist Church in Pontypridd, Wales under Pastor Darren Rogers. Our time in Pontypridd was a great help to us as we built friendships, gained experience, and prayed about where God would lead us to revive a church. We were able to visit and preach at several churches in South Wales who had small congregations and were without a pastor. It was during this time that we learned of a church in Bury, Wales, which was about 40 minutes south of Pontypridd.
Early 2017, we moved to the coastal town of Bury, Wales, which has a population of 53,000 people. We began working at Princess Street Evangelical Baptist Church, which once had been a flourishing church years ago, but had dwindled down to just a handful of members. Another American missionary was able to help the church for a few years to keep it going, but was retiring in the summer of 2017. Our time at the church overlapped a few months, and the members of the church accepted us and made us feel at home. Over the last 2.5 years, we have seen God bless in amazing ways, and the church has grown beyond what we could imagine.
Hello, America. Hello, everybody. We hope that you give Anna and Kevin and his family a warm welcome when they come back amongst you. We thank the Lord very much for sending them to us. We were only a small amount of people in our church, and now we've got a lovely congregation, we've got loads of youngsters coming, and we are really finding that the Lord is blessing us. We ask you to be with them and send them back safely. Thank you very much.
So we started going to Princes Street just over a year ago. We've been in Bury for about 4 or 5 years now, 4 years. And we really wanted to go to a church that was within our community and that was reaching the community. And since we live probably about 5 minutes walk away from the church, even less if we're in a sprint, we thought this was the church to go to. And we were really impressed with the effort that Kevin and Anna are putting in to preach the gospel to the community, but also to do it with other types of outreach, such as Totally Tots, the youth work. We're just really impressed with how they had gone about that.
I like coming to Princess Street because it's really friendly. And last year I was a Christian, and I was so lucky to be a Christian. And now I know a lot about God, and I know God that died on the cross for my sins. And and lots of people are so friendly here.
And we came to Princess Street, ready to go on to the next church, but God kept us week by week, and we just settled in more, and it became obvious to us that this was the church that God would have us to be settling in. I guess the reason for that was just we felt at home in the middle of people who loved us and loved the community and loved each other, and more importantly, loved God. And we just felt, you know, this was going to be the place. God was really showing us this was the place we settled. For people who had a vision and a passion about reaching out to people, you know, lost people in the community, and so.
I have a Tamil Bible reading. This Bible very nice reading. Very, I like it. This Bible because with me very help for me. Very nice help. Hot these are very nice help.
So being in a church within our local community was really important to us, and being able to invite people that we meet on a day-to-day basis to come along to church at school and things like that. And I think it was quite an amazing story, really, of how I felt that God really brought me here, especially, and then worked in Murray's heart as well. Was one of the moms that I'd met, I'd had a kind of chance encounter with, came along to the toddler group that I started helping out at before we started coming here on a Sunday as well. And she just turned around one day and said to Anna, "Oh, I'd really love to start coming to church on a Sunday." And so I was absolutely gobsmacked because I didn't think that she would even come along to the toddler group, let alone want to come along to church. So she came on a Sunday, and of course I wasn't here. We were going to a different church at the time, and that just felt a bit odd. And she said, "Well, where were you? I assumed this was your church." And obviously at the time it wasn't. And so I thought, no, I've got to go. I've got to stick with my neighbour and friend. And I just really felt that this was the place that we should be. And so much has happened over the last year and a half. There was about 10 people when we first came, and just to see the growth in the church over the last year has just been phenomenal, and God has blessed it in so many different ways, and we feel really blessed to be a part of it. But also I think it's an absolute privilege to call Kevin and Anna our closest friends here, really. I just haven't got to know them, and we love them so very much.
And we've really felt at home here. We've really felt that God has put us here, and he's put us in a wonderful church family. And it's just great to see how God is just giving us that fellowship and that unity and that vision to go forward. So yeah, we're really thankful to God for all he's done in bringing us here.
Throughout all of this, which is really important, throughout all of the outreach into the community, the gospel's being preached. It's not just about having a fun time, it's about sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. And that goes through everything that we do. And it's been such a pleasure to be able to partner in the gospel with Kevin and Anna as we seek to reach our community here in Barry.
I like it. This is very friendly, very many people are friendly, very older people, very kind with me, very nice thing, very nice help. Every Sunday prayer, I like it, this church, and so, no miss it, any.
So it's a privilege to be part of Princess Street, and we're just looking forward to what God is going to do. He's going to do great things. We're convinced of that. We're seeing the shoots of that growth right now, and we think God is going to do good things with Princess Street.
Thank you for praying for our family and Wales.
So you get to meet a few of our people there in Barry, Wales, and we miss them this morning. We've already been in contact with them. They had their service. It would have started at, well, it was 11 o'clock, so 6 o'clock this morning, our time. They were starting their service there in Barry, Wales, but very thankful for all the different people that God has brought to our church just as we reach out into our community. And if you have more questions, we'd love to talk to you following the service, and please stop by. You can look at some of the books. You can get to know more of the people just looking at their pictures, and we'd love to share more with you. At this time, we'll go ahead and take the Word of God and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and look at a passage here as Paul is speaking to the church at Corinth. And you know, as we think about the gospel, as Murray mentioned in the video, everything we do, the goal is the gospel. Reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. What does the word gospel mean? It means good news. It is the greatest news that has ever come to this earth. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 19, we'll read on through verse 23. We see Paul's heart for the gospel. He says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And you might say, why, Paul? Why do you do all of this? And he says in verse 23, and this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Paul says, all of these things that I'm doing, it is for the gospel's sake. You know, when you read through this passage, Paul sounds almost very wishy-washy, if you will. It sounds as though he is just goes with the flow wherever he is. Now, he is not speaking about that he changes the truth to try to reach people. He's not changing the message, if you will, to reach people. But what he is saying is, he's saying, I am changing and adjusting my lifestyle, my preferences, the way I live, so that I can reach people. And why? What is the purpose? What is the whole goal of your ministry? He says, for the gospel's sake. You know, this morning I would like to ask, how important is the gospel to us? How important is the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, to us? I think for the most part, most of us would say it is very important. In fact, you might even say it is what has changed my life. You might say, well, what is the gospel? Well, the gospel really is the good news of Jesus Christ, but without, well, in order to have good news, we also must have the bad news. And you know, when you actually look at the Word of God and you study about the Word of God and why Jesus Christ came, we could go all the way back to creation. We think of God as He created the universe. God created Adam and Eve. And when He was finished creating it, He said it was good. Everything was absolutely perfect. He knew what was best for Adam and Eve. He knew what was best for humankind. And everything was beautiful. But then we understand the story. Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. They broke God's law. They disobeyed. They ate of the fruit. And because of their sin, sin deserves punishment. Sin brought separation. And what I often mention, especially with our young people, with our youth club, sin always breaks relationships. Not only our relationship with God, but every time I sin, it is a breaking of a relationship with somebody else. With a husband and wife, with a child and a parent, with friendships, trust is broken, all sorts of things, but sin always breaks relationships. And that sin was broken, or broke that relationship with God. But God loved each and every one of us. God loved the human race. God loved us so much that God, the creator of the universe, came to this earth, lived on this earth. He was absolutely perfect and holy, but yet He lived amongst sinful men. He went to the cross and He died on the cross for each one of us. But He did not stay dead. He rose again from the grave. And because He lives, we can live also. Because He died, He made the payment already for my sins, I can have the forgiveness of sins. And that is really the gospel in a nutshell. And Paul, he says, this is the reason why I live. It is for the gospel's sake. As I travel around, I want other people to know the good news of Jesus Christ. And the honest truth, the more you get to know people, the more you realize every human being on this earth has struggles. Every human being on this earth has difficulties. They have trials. In fact, the wealthiest person that you know, the wealthiest person on this earth, they have trials. They have struggles. In fact, many times that is the reason why they're gaining wealth is because they think that the wealth can solve their problems. But the truth is, no wealth, no relationship, no love on this earth can solve the deepest need that each and every one of us have. But as Paul knew, the gospel will. Jesus Christ is the only one who can give true hope to each and every one of us. Jesus Christ is the only person that can give true hope to your friends, your neighbors, your loved ones. And as Paul is speaking here, he says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." Paul is saying, you know what? Since I have become a believer in Jesus Christ, since I have followed Jesus Christ, I am no longer bound by the law. I am no longer bound by the first several books of the Bible, all of the Levitical priesthood and all of the sacrifices and the ceremonies and all of the traditions that came along with that. Why? Because Jesus Christ has fulfilled all of those things. Jesus Christ is the final sacrifice. All of those things from the Old Testament were pictures looking forward to Jesus Christ. Jesus says, "I did not come to destroy the law or the law and the prophets, but I have come to fulfill the law and the prophets." Paul says, "I am no longer bound by all of those things. I am a free man in Jesus Christ." But he says, "I'm going to stop there." He says, "Though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more." He says, "I am become the servant to those around me, so that they can come to know the truth of the gospel." In fact, as he goes on, he says, "Unto the Jews I became as a Jew." Now, Paul was Jewish, but he was not bound by all of the laws that the Jewish held to. It mentions, "Unto them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law." Paul says, you know what? I am not bound by the law anymore of all of the ceremonies of the Old Testament. But you know what? If it helps to win people to Christ, I will continue doing some of those things. And one example of that is Timothy. Timothy was half Jew, half Gentile. His mother was Jew, his father was a Greek. He was not circumcised as a child, as a baby, as the Jewish culture would have had. But as they were reaching out to the Jewish community, he was recommended to be circumcised. Why? So it would not become a stumbling block to the Jews. Titus, on the other hand, was the son of a Greek father or son of a Greek mother. And he was not recommended to be circumcised because he was not Jew. And these are things that Paul says, you know what? By the law, because Jesus Christ has come, you don't have to be circumcised, but in order to reach the Jews around you, I recommend you to do that. And Paul is saying, I am going to submit to what is going around me. He mentions about to them that are without law is without law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. He's saying to the Gentiles, those that don't have the Jewish law, those that live in a different culture, when I am with them, I'm going to live as them. I'm going to eat like they eat. I'm going to maybe dress like they dress. Why? So that I can reach them. He's saying, you know what? When I'm with a Jewish family, I'm not going to eat pork because I don't want to offend them. But when I'm with the Gentiles and they're eating pork, I'm going to eat pork right along with them. And in some ways, it could almost seem hypocritical, but Paul is saying, I know what I believe. I know the freedom that I have in Christ, but I am going to be conscious of the people around me. Because you know what? There are so many preferences that each and every one of us have that can actually be a hindrance to the gospel. Many people would understand as we go to the United Kingdom that we're going to adjust to a few things. The British, they do things in a different way. One of the things that is very obvious that we had to adjust to was driving on the other side of the road. Because if we didn't adjust to that, we'd have a problem. We'd cause several problems. And one of the things that we adjusted to, but the way they eat, the things that they eat. I eat a lot more fish and chips. I definitely drink a whole lot more cups of tea. Here in the United States, I never drink tea. Now, some days, I might drink 3, 4, 5 cups of tea, especially on a Sunday. Why? Because you go over to somebody's house and they're going to offer tea. And that's kind of rude to turn it off. But it's adjusting. We think of Hudson Taylor going to China, trying to reach the Chinese people. What he found is they all turned him off. Why? Because he was in British dress. He looked like British. And they didn't want to hear from somebody that looked British. They didn't want to hear from somebody who acted British. And all of a sudden, he changed his garments, started wearing Chinese dress, started even putting the Chinese braid. And he was criticized a lot from England. But his ministry began to grow. Why? What was he doing? He was saying, you know what? I do not want anything in my personal life on the outside to hinder somebody from coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I don't want my preferences to get in the way of somebody coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amy Carmichael, another person who went to India, and her light, fair skin, when people saw her there in India, they were shocked. Many of them had never seen a white person before. So what did she do? She dyed her skin color with coffee. She dyed it, and so her face, it was now dark. Why? She didn't want anything about her to get in the way of people coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And this is what Paul is saying, even as he says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. He says, when people were weak and understanding, I simplified the gospel so that they would understand. He says, I adjusted my presentation to those around me. A few instances as you read through the book of Acts, you see that. You see the differences with the message being presented. In Acts chapter 2, as you see Peter, as he gets up on the day of Pentecost, what does he do? He goes back to the law and the prophets, the Old Testament. He begins, he takes out the message of Joel, and he says, this is happening right now. And then he goes to David, and he mentions about how David, how he spoke about how the Holy One, he would not stay, or he would not see corruption. And Peter says, David is still in the grave. David wasn't speaking about himself. And he points to Jesus Christ. To the Jews, Peter kept on pulling out prophecies from the Old Testament. He keeps on going back to the Old Testament. But all of a sudden, when you look at Acts chapter 17, the Apostle Paul, as he's speaking there in Athens, and he's speaking there at Mars Hill, and remember, as he goes into the town, and there are idols everywhere. He does not start preaching against the idols. In fact, he saw one idol that said to the unknown God. And he said, this is the person I'm going to speak about. And he takes what they already had. He took them from where they had their knowledge of God. And he brought them to that point. And what is very amazing in that passage is you never find Paul quoting scripture in Acts chapter 17. He never mentions one time the scripture. It may have been because they would have looked at it and said, you know what, that's for the Jews. And Paul wasn't trying to convert them to Judaism. Paul was trying to present them to the gospel. In fact, what Paul does do is he mentions one of their poets. In verse 28 of Acts chapter 17, it says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. He says, one of your own poets mentions how we are the offspring of God. And he goes on, he says, if we are the offspring of God, how could we be offspring of rock or stone? He says, all of these are not idols. And then he points them to Jesus Christ and the resurrection. In every message throughout the book of Acts, every one of them finishes with Jesus crucified and risen again. But the way he presents it, he takes them from where they are in their knowledge of God. And he leads them on to Jesus Christ. What he's doing is he's saying, I am adjusting the way I speak and how I speak. I'm adjusting my behavior, I'm adjusting my lifestyle so that I can reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, even if you were to go to John chapter 4, and we're probably all very familiar with Jesus as he meets the woman at the well, if you were to ever find two opposites, you would find them there in John chapter 4. Jesus, the perfect one, the creator of the universe, and you have this woman who is living in adultery. She has already had five husbands, and the man she is living with is not her husband. You have a man and a woman. In culture, they were completely different. You had a Jew and a Samaritan. You had so many opposites, but what did Jesus do when he struck up the conversation with the woman? He found the one thing they had in common. Both of them were thirsty. And with that conversation, he opens up the door into everything else. And even the woman brought up about the conflict of the differences of religion. Well, you worship in this place, we worship in this place, and she's trying to get an argument about where they worship, but Jesus brings it back to the very truth. It's not about where. It's not about a place. The Father desires them to worship in spirit and in truth. And then she says, well, when the Messiah comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus says, I that speak unto you, am he. Jesus took the one thing they had in common and brought the conversation around to point to himself. You know, when we speak to other people, as we understand as a missionary, as I go to the United Kingdom, I am going to adjust a little bit. Even the words that I say, we don't say bathroom, we say toilet. He's in the toilet. And here in the United States, that sounds crazy, but over there, if I say in the restroom, they would say, what's a restroom? Why do you need to take a rest in the room? Or the bathroom, well, that doesn't have a bath in it. So why do you call it a bathroom? And there's so many differences, but those are preferences. Paul says, I'm going to remove all of the preferences that could get in the way of sharing the gospel. Because I want people to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. As it mentions there, he says, made all things to all men that I might by all means save some. For this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker therewith with you. But then in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, in verse 31, he says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God, even as I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. He says, when I live out my life, I don't want to cause any offense. He's saying, yes, the gospel might offend, but the way I speak to people, the way I look, the way I act, the way I do whatever, if those things that I do offends people, that's my problem. If the gospel offends them, that's their problem. But he says, I don't want anything in my life to offend. And you know, when we stop and think, how important is the gospel to me? What would I be willing to adjust in my life to reach out to people around me? The truth is in the United Kingdom, one of the things that we stay off completely is political speech. Because it wouldn't bring up any, it would not help anything in the United Kingdom. I'm not going to bring them around to my way of thinking, and it wouldn't matter if I did. But I don't want that to hinder the gospel. And the truth is many issues going on around us, we have to understand if they don't believe in God, if they don't believe that God created the universe, that God did not create Adam and Eve, marriage, the sanctity of marriage, and gender identity, we will never agree with them on those issues. And to be honest, there is no sense of me arguing with a person that is unsaved about those issues. Because even if I brought them around to my way of thinking, they would still be lost. We need to go back to creation, back to God created us, and bring them to Jesus Christ. We could argue about so many things. We could argue about morality. We could argue about the things going on in our country or around the world. We could argue about all of these different things, but to be honest, we have to go right back to the gospel. Because my arguments will not change a person. The gospel is the only thing that will. And we cannot get hung up on all of these other issues with people who do not understand that God has created us in a specific way. And there are certain things that we have to lay aside for a moment. And rather than arguing all of the issues, it'd be much better to speak about God and creation. And if we can't agree on those, we will not agree on anything else. And there's no sense of arguing about them. Because the main thing is, God has created us. Now, as Paul is, as I mentioned, he knew what he believed, and he knew exactly why he believed it. He did not change in any of those things. But he always went back to the gospel. Whether it was with those that worshipped idols, he began speaking about God. He didn't speak against the idols. He knew if they met Jesus, they would change their ways and turn from the idols. But he always brought them from God, the Creator, to Jesus, the Savior. And in our lives, we have to be careful and really reflect in our lives. How important is the gospel to me? In my conversations with other people, do I speak? And I'm not saying about being against political, being political. I'm not speaking against that. But I have met a lot of people that are more political than what they are for Christ. A lot of people that are pro-America more than pro-Christian or pro-Jesus. They would argue for 10 hours about things here in America, but they would be scared stiff to speak 10 seconds about Jesus Christ. That's a problem. Because, as Paul mentions, it's not about Jew, it's not about Gentiles, it's not about male, it's not about female, it's not about bond or free. We are all one in Jesus Christ. And Paul says, I am going to become all things to all men, so that I might save some. Why do you do this, Paul? For the gospel's sake. You know what? When we live out our life, there are so many things that we could try to gain. We could try to get in our life. We could try to argue and we can try to win those arguments. But why? Is it so that I can say I won? Or is it to bring them to Jesus Christ? When we live out our life, we have to ask that question: how important is the gospel to me? How well do we know the gospel to share the gospel? How much has it penetrated and changed our life? Would we be willing to argue the gospel more than we would be willing to argue all of the other issues going on in our country? Paul was much more pro-Jesus than he was much more pro-anything around him. Because Jesus is the only thing that will change lives. Jesus is the only thing that will, one that will transform lives. And what is done for Christ is the only thing that will last for all of eternity. What is done for the gospel is the only thing that will last for all of eternity. And really the one question is, how important is the gospel in your life? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do thank you for all that you have done for us. Lord, the gospel is so important for you that you came to this earth facing the mocking, facing the scourging, the beating, and went to the cross to take upon our sin upon yourself. You became man so that we might be saved. Lord, I pray that you would help us to keep the gospel in the front of our minds. Not willing to offend others by our behavior or by our actions, but that we would point people to you and their lives would be transformed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.